Hello, PMP. How is everyone tonight? Let's see. Let me get myself situated. Can everybody hear me okay? Give me a thumbs up in the chat. Make sure we are good to go. All right. Thank you, Samantha. All right, y'all, here's how we roll at office hours. We're here until 8 o'clock my time, so we're here for 2 hours. If you want coaching, you can raise your hand. If you just have a question for me, you can put it in your Q&A box. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, you can use the chat. Probably won't check the chat much unless it's super slow and nobody has their hand raised. So that's how this works. And so far, nobody has their hand raised. So as you guys come in, I'll talk a little bit about race weekend, which was amazing. I don't know if we have any racers here or not. No, Samantha, you are not the only one here. In fact, you guys, if you do talk with one another, make sure you're saying that you're chatting with all panelists and attendees so that you can see each other's comments. All right, we got some hands now. Let's see what we got going on here. Laura Gary, you are first. All right, let me unmute you.
There you are. Hey there.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
What's up?
All right, so this has been an ongoing problem that I just recently kind of connected the dots on. So a little bit of the backstory is that I travel with work. Mm-hmm. My husband lives in Mississippi. Right now I'm in Southern California. We've been doing this really well for about 2 years. And for the most part, I would say 90% of the time we are like on fire, and it's really not a problem because we are both working towards a goal in the future. So it's kind of like with weight loss, where there's a little bit of discomfort, there's a little bit of, but we're working towards a goal and we are, you know, getting there and making progress to it. So we're good. But I've realized over the last couple of visits that we've had together that either during the visits or right after the visits, I am having some bad storms, some like total blinders, everything. So in November, I didn't want to mess with my binder. He was here for almost a week. I didn't look at it. I didn't do anything. And I told myself the BS lie that, well, I don't want to take away my time from my husband because I invest a lot of time in my binder, which I normally do. I love it. This is like my time with it and it's my BFF. But it doesn't have to be that. I can do 2 minutes with it and I could do just a little bit and that would be fine. So I've realized that afterwards.
So what you're saying when you say your binder, just to be clear so everybody understands, you're not doing your P&P work. You're not doing your plan.
I was not.
You're not doing your assessment. You're not doing that kind of stuff when you're with your husband.
When I was with him, I didn't do any of it the first time. So I realized that that was BS. I said, okay, so the next time we were together, which was about like, and it was a good chunk, was about March. Okay. So in March, I said, that's it. I talked to my accountability groups. I got my head straight. I'm going to do my binder. I'm going to check in. I'm going to assess. I'm going to be honest with myself, the whole nine yards. And I went back and I looked back at my data and I was pretty good at it. I really assessed. I did a plan. I assessed. After he left, and then my daughter and her and son-in-law came in too, but after they left, I had about 2 days where I didn't touch it. I didn't look, and I had to like get myself like back on track and make myself get back into it and get going. So I was like, okay, I'm learning. I'm gonna that was a little better. It was progress. This last month, my husband and I had a very quick weekend. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do my plan. I'm going to assess. And I did for the first 2 days, but the day that we had to separate, I was full on like shoveling food in my mouth that morning. So much so, and I'm not joking, he picked up my phone. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm eating my feelings right now. He picked up my phone and Marco Polo in my accountability group and said, hey ladies, I know you're not used to seeing me, but could someone please talk to her? She's not listening to me. He didn't like seeing it. And so he really called me out. Mm-hmm. And I had to do a lot of processing with it too. But that day, that moment was the very first time that I realized I was sad. And I actually like felt the emotions then when he made me stop eating. And I bawled and I cried and he just hugged me and that was good. It was a process and it was learning. And I probably, well, I know I did, still ate like ass for the rest of the day. But the next day I got back on track and said, okay, that like the next day was my next best decision versus a couple of days afterwards I got.
So when you don't pay attention to your binder, when you're with your husband, right? That's the action mm-hmm. line of the mm-hmm. model. Okay. So what's the feeling?
The feeling is avoidance.
Okay. And so why are you avoiding your plan when you're with your husband?
Well, I'm avoiding the plan, but I tell myself I'm avoiding the sadness. Like if I eat whatever I want, then I'm avoiding the sadness. I'm avoiding the thoughts.
Are you sad when you're with him?
Part of me is kind of sad when I'm with him because I know, like, especially this weekend, that was the thing I think what made it come to a head for me was the fact that it was such a short time. I knew that I couldn't even stretch out the enjoyment of the time because it was such a quick weekend for us.
Okay. So you're sad why are you sad when you're with him? Because it's going to come to an end, right?
Yeah. So this is I did three models on this. Mm-hmm. Two of them were unintentional and mm-hmm. one of them was traveling with work and traveling for work is the circumstance, but really in these models, the circumstances are time that we have together. It was more what it ended up being. And the thought was I miss my family and my husband. And then the feeling was sad. The action was checking out, numbing with food. And then my result was missing the true connection and the true time with that we're together. I mean, seeing it, I see it there.
Right.
And which is why, I mean, I do, I recognize it, which is why on Friday I'm going home mm-hmm. and I'm going to be with family, with my husband and with my mom and sisters and my aunts coming and we've got this time together and it's a little bit of a longer one. So that's kind of good. It's not a shorter one to, you know, I do feel like I have a little bit more time and that's nice, but I don't want to check out with food when I'm with them mm-hmm. there. And then I don't want to like ass eat when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
So the second model was that it's so little time together and that makes me feel panicked.
Mm-hmm.
And then I cram to rush all the stuff in, like I got to do all the stuff, which has happened before also. And then the result is that I really have less real time together because I'm so consumed with that. And
exactly right because that's what you're doing. You're the avoidance of spending time with him or of enjoying quality time, you know, because you're rushing, creates the result of not having good connected time, which is what you were afraid you wouldn't have in the thought line.
Right.
So you're just proving your thought with these feelings and these actions, right? So what's your intentional model?
So I had one that was, and I don't know if it was the same circumstance or not. I think it was that my thought when I think about our times together is we decided this together and we make it work. You know, mm-hmm. that this was a mutual decision and that makes me feel strong in us. I like that feeling that we did this together.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the action is communicate strong, make time for our own connections and take care of us and take care of our goals. And then the result is, you know, we rock at this goal and being on the same page and doing it together collectively as a couple.
All right. And that's good for broad picture. What's your model going to be in the moment when you don't want
to know? That's why I thought,
do you?
I need a coaching call. Well, I did write, how do I want to feel during this trip?
Okay.
So that's a separate model. And then I did, how do I want to feel when I get home?
All right. So let's do, how do you want to feel during the trip when you see him? How many days are you going to have together?
We're going to have 3 full days together.
Okay. So during those 3 days, mm-hmm. what do you want to feel? I'm guessing it's not panicked or sad.
It's not sad. I don't want to feel sad, but I feel like I'm going to feel sad. So like I think that's where I was getting tripped up in my own thoughts was you're going to be sad. Don't deny mm-hmm. that. But I don't know if that's a separate model or if I'm just trying to avoid it.
I want to feel
connected.
Right. When you leave him, you know, when at the end of the 3 days is up, it's perfectly reasonable to feel sad, right?
Right.
But when you're with him, do you want to spend the time being sad?
No, I want to be connected.
You want to be connected and present, right? Because you don't want to waste those 3 days, you know, pre-feeling the sadness of leaving again. Right.
Yeah, I feel like it's pre-failing almost. Like, you know, when
it's
we
exactly
say pre.
What it is. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. So to feel connected and present, you know, what do you have to think?
I have to think, I have to be grateful for the time that we have.
That's a feeling.
That's a feel. Okay. That's a feeling. Okay. What do I have to think to feel connected? I don't know. What do I have to think? I have to think, I have to think I'm happy to be here. Mm-hmm. This is a gift to have this time together. Mm-hmm. I could think that. I could think mm-hmm. we're very fortunate to be able to have these mm-hmm. 3 days together.
So those are the three. Those are a couple of thoughts for you to mm-hmm. model and see if they mm-hmm. land. Okay. When you feel connected and present, what are some of the things you do?
I engage more. I am not distracting myself with food or, you know, electronics. I'm listening. I'm just present.
You take care of yourself. You take care of your plan.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because you're present. You're connected to him, but you're also connected to yourself rather than in your eating vortex of avoidance.
Right. That's a good
right.
One. Yeah.
So I think that might be the piece that you're missing.
Yeah.
Not only do you have an opportunity to connect with him for 3 days, you have an opportunity to maintain connection with yourself.
Oh, I love it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course, the sadness is going to come up when you guys say goodbye.
Yeah.
But when you feel it coming up, why don't you just table it? If you feel it coming up in those 3 days, acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say, I'm going to be sad when it's over, but you know what? I think I'll wait right now.
Right.
I'll just table that sadness because I know it's going to be there and it's okay that it's there because I really want to focus on this connection and this presence right now.
Right.
Does that sound doable?
Yes, that sounds doable. That's a good power thought for every single day.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is doable. And then how do I want to feel when I get home? What do I do when I get home? I wrote some other stuff on here. Okay. So when I get home on late Tuesday night, and I am again fortunate that I don't have to be back at work until like Thursday night. So I have a full day of Wednesday and Thursday and then part of Thursday to kind of recoup and to get my mind straight and not avoid and, mm-hmm. you know, half eat. So I put, you know, how can I reset and get my mind straight? And I mean, I put plan realistically. I can relax. I can do a shower and exfoliation, take care mm-hmm. of my skin. Mm-hmm. I can go for a run and enjoy, you know, kind of the weather out here. And then I can check in with accountability groups.
Mm-hmm.
And those, I mean.
So what thoughts? You've got all the things.
I've got actions. I've got all these actions.
You've got all
right?
these
so
actions.
Thoughts. Okay, right.
So work your way back up the model.
Yes, there we go. That's what I was missing.
Yeah. How do you have to feel to create those actions?
What do I have to feel to create those? I guess I have to feel focused because to me, I'm looking at those and all of those are those are usually my regular plans that I do. I mean, those are usually,
oh,
this is
really?
Like my
routine.
It really is. So most of the time.
Present.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're back to present and focused and connected.
Yeah.
With
present
yourself.
And focused. Mm-hmm. Connecting with myself. So really when I'm disconnecting it, you're right. It's not just disconnecting from my husband or from my family. It is really disconnecting. It's ultimately disconnecting from myself.
That's what buffering does. It disconnects you from the reality of whatever you're in right now, the feelings that you don't want to feel or the people you don't want to be around. It's an avenue for disconnection. That's what buffering does. And for you, it's, I'm going to buffer by ignoring my PMP work, which I know 100% serves you because you're such a, you know, you're such a boss at it. And it disconnects you from yourself, you know, because you're not, you're eating instead of, you know,
yeah,
taking care of business, right?
And doing the stuff that I know works. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, right. Boy, that's a bunch of TDLs in the making right there.
I've done my work.
You have done your work, because I really didn't put that connection together. I mean, I've thought about this for a while now. And matter of fact, I completely forgot. Not that I forgot about Don't Stop Believing this past weekend, because I had many friends who were there and I loved it. But I forgot that there wasn't coaching. There weren't office hours on Saturday. So Saturday, I like jump on and I was like, oh, wait a minute. And I checked the schedule. Tuesday.
We were probably Tuesday. Out in the hot sunshine.
Absolutely. So yeah, I said, okay, Tuesday. I'm going to do this on Tuesday, because I knew I was missing something. Like nothing just wasn't quite clicking. Like nothing quite felt right in, you know, the stuff that I was writing out and where I was mm-hmm. going with. But yeah, you gave me the missing piece on it.
Awesome.
Wow. That was fast. Good job, yeah. Kathy. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your time.
I will be present and I will did not disconnect from myself. That's great.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Stacy, you're next. Let me unmute you. Hello. Oh, I can't hear you. I have unmuted you on my side. That's funny, because I heard the ding dong, like your sound. So the Zoom sound is on, I guess. I can't hear you. Uh-oh. Maybe she's coming out and going back in. Stacy, I'm going to go ahead and take you back out and call you up next while you get your settings together, okay? So let's go ahead and pick up Deanna real quick while Stacy's, well, wait a minute, while Stacy's getting her stuff fixed. This is so strange. Oh, here she is again. Let's see if it comes back.
Hi.
Okay, there you are.
Yeah, sorry. I had to fix my settings.
That's okay. It's so strange that I have you on twice now. Okay. We'll figure it out. So how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Good. Well, I just want to say this is my first coaching call, and I've been a member since May of last year.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah. So I'm kind of like, I don't know where to go with this. So bear
okay.
with me.
Okay.
Okay. So I, like I said, have been in the tribe since May of last year, mm-hmm. and I started out a little slow. And then around September, October, I had some pretty good breakthroughs, and I've lost about, well, I fluctuate between 16 and 19 pounds, but haven't been able to get past that.
Okay.
And since November, haven't lost anything, just bouncing around over and over again.
Okay.
And kind of almost avoiding, not, I don't want to say avoiding my PNP work, but, not doing it as great as I can. I've been, you know, practicing the basics, but not really delving into my thought work and my modeling and stuff like that. So okay. then a few weeks ago, I was talking to my accountability group, and one of the women was having a hard time with her son. And she said that she sent him a text message saying just something really uncomfortable, but, you know, being very like happy for, you know, like, have a great time. I'm so happy for you that you're doing this, even though she didn't really feel that. And my response to her was like, yeah, well, you know, sometimes you have to do things again and again, and it's really uncomfortable and feels really fake, but then eventually it's real. And I had this like mind blowing moment, like, oh my God, that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing here.
Yeah.
And so it was amazing. And it like helped me a lot. But then a couple weeks later, I was like doing some self-talk and some journaling and, you know, and I was like, I'm still not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm still bouncing around. I'm still overeating. And I mean, I know that is what I'm supposed to be doing, right? And learning from those.
So what is it you're not doing that you're supposed to be doing specifically?
Well, pretty much staying on plan.
Okay. So you're creating plans, but you're not executing them.
Yeah. Or I'm staying on plan, but I'm still like eating pasta too. Or my plans, they're realistic, but I need to level them up really well. And one of the things that I also came to realize is that what I think are my priorities here are not actually my priorities. Like I keep saying, like, I want to feel better. I want to look better. You know, my health needs to improve, which it does. But like when I started writing out like my priorities, trying to like, what is it? The one thing that I wrote was do things that provide relief from the day, from stress, from my thoughts, and from the pain that I have. And I realized in that moment that I just like I'm eating and I'm drinking alcohol to find relief from all of these things that and like as a coping mechanism, which again is everything that PMP is about,
right?
So
yeah, you're disconnecting too, you and Laura, the disconnection queens.
That's right. Yeah, I was listening to Laura. I was like,
oh, yeah,
totally. Yeah. And so that's been great and that's been helping a lot. But then, you know, I'm finding that it's just.
So tell me what overeating and overdrinking is fixing for you.
Nothing.
Okay. So what benefit is it providing to you?
None.
Okay.
Feel worse.
So this is right. That's your unintentional model, right?
Yeah.
That's it's almost the same as Laura's with a different circumstance.
Yes.
Okay. So your circumstance, you haven't told us what's bothering you, but you put that in the circumstance. You have a thought about it. That's not a thought you want to have that you're uncomfortable with. Your feeling is uncomfortable. Your action is disconnect, overdrink, overeat. And your result is that you're not dealing with that feeling because you're disconnected.
Yeah.
So you're going to play this on repeat over and over and over again.
Yep.
Okay. So in order to, you know, you talked about I either need to stop eating at my two or I need to level up my food. You need to start with stopping at your two. Okay. Because it doesn't matter if it's chicken and broccoli. If you eat past your two, you're overeating.
Yes.
You're overfeeding your body.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the no-brainer. Okay. So you work it at stopping at plus two, but that's the action step, right?
Right.
So in the intentional model where you are not disconnecting by eating and drinking, that action line is stop at my plus two. Well, guess what the feeling line is? You have to feel whatever is uncomfortable and be present with it. Okay. And what I mean by that is you're instead of disconnecting and buffering. Did you watch the workshop last night?
I missed almost all of it. So I do need to go back to it.
Yeah. When I talk about buffering, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Right. It's how you take yourself out of a situation so that you don't have to feel the urge or the stress or the whatever the feeling is that you don't want to feel. You just remove yourself, you know, by eating or drinking or watching Netflix or shopping or whatever it is your buffer of choice is.
Right.
So if you actually feel that feeling, right, then you don't have to do the disconnecting part.
Right.
Now, if the feeling is super uncomfortable, it's going to take a minute for you to handle it and understand that it's not going to hurt you. Right. So the only thing that causes the thing that's causing you pain, other than when you're not feeling the feeling, is what you're doing to yourself by overeating. So you got, it's like you pick your pain, right? Do you want to pick the pain of life and deal with it? Or do you want to pick the pain of, you know, adding your weight on or not losing your weight or whatever it is by the overeating? Oh, you're frozen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does. It's interesting because I get waves. Like I can go months at a time with, and after like a couple of days or a week or so, that discomfort is gone. It's not even a question. Like if I don't, really one of the big things for me is wine. And if I don't drink wine after a couple of days, all of that discomfort is gone. And it's just normal and I'm okay. And I can do that. But then I get into the pattern of the, you know, drinking and to cover everything up and just over and over and over again. And drinking, of course, leads to eating anyway.
Yeah. I don't think I understand. If you remove the buffer, if you remove the drinking, the other pain goes away?
No. Some of the cycles about.
Oh.
Like, because I, for some reason, it just sort of like levels out. I'm not, it's very hard to explain this, but.
So if it levels out, why do you start the drinking again?
Because I want it.
Mm. So does the drinking intensify the feelings for you?
No.
Does it throw you in the cycle? It just creates the cycle of the piling on of the drinking and the I'm not sticking to my plan and all the self-talk. Okay.
I see. Yeah. It just I think exacerbates it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So when you're sticking to plan, sounds to me like what you're saying is when you stick to plan, then you show up better in the world, not just for yourself, but for everything else that's going on.
Absolutely.
So why don't you stick to plan?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously, I would wake up every morning and tell myself, I'm sticking to plan today because I know it's going to be a great day if I do. I know I'll be able to show up and handle myself for whatever comes at me, if I stay on my plan, if I stay true to myself.
Yeah, I actually sort of do that. And then 4 or 5 o'clock rolls around and mm-hmm. I'm exhausted from work. I'm very mm-hmm. introverted and I have a mm-hmm. very extroversion work life.
Okay.
And it's like, this is where that relief comes in. Like I just want relief. And so I've been working on like, well, what does bring relief? And mm-hmm. that is healthy. And so like, I've been working out almost every single day mm-hmm. and I've been, you know, trying to get some alone time and some downtime and like everything. But then sometimes there's just like something, and that's probably, I just need to work through that and journal about this. Like what is triggering it to be wine, like to be that thing that makes me check out instead of make myself actually.
What if you back it up a little bit and protect your recharge time first, rather than dig deep into why wine and not chocolate, or why wine and not ice cream, or why wine and not booze? Yeah. And why don't you look at why you don't protect your recharge time? Who are you allowing to disrupt your precharge, your recharge time? This is called self-care, Stacey.
I know.
Okay.
Something else I'm really
know this about yourself.
Working on.
If you know this about yourself, this is how you take care of yourself. If this is part of the plan, and it keeps you out of the wine bottle, and it furthers you so that you show up better in the world, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
How long is your commute?
Anywhere from 25 to 45 minutes.
Depending. Okay. What do you do on your commute?
Listen to music. Sometimes listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
What if you were
just quiet?
Oh, and sometimes.
And use that as your recharge time. And tell yourself, this is how I'm going to ensure that I show up for myself tonight. I don't know, just offering a suggestion.
Sorry. Say that again.
What if it all starts with a thought, but what if you tell yourself, this is how I recharge so that I can show up for myself and my family tonight?
While driving.
Can you do that while driving?
No. Not enough. I mean, that's why, like, I get home and I try to jump on the treadmill as soon as I get uh-huh. home or something like that, so I can, like, continue that sort of mm-hmm. quiet in my own head.
Okay. When you jump on the treadmill, does that help you stay out of the wine bottle?
Yes.
Okay. So there's your pause for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. The reason I suggested the drive, because that's about the drive that I had too. It was never as good as 25 minutes. But sometimes I would just sit in the quiet, and it was almost like, you know, they have a thing called a driving meditation. It was almost meditative to me because I wouldn't allow myself to think about anything other than the cars around me in the drive. I would just quiet my brain for that amount of time. That's the only reason I suggested that. If that doesn't work for you, it's fine. But if, you know, if jumping on the treadmill, I think what you're going to have to do is take care of yourself. You're going to have to. But you always start that with, you know, this is how I recharge. This is how I take care of myself. And this time is important to me. You always start with that kind of thought.
Yeah. Okay. It's actually interesting what you just said about you only being like with the cars on the road and mm-hmm. in the car by yourself. Because even when I have like silence in the car, I still have all my thoughts going and going and going and going whereas when I get on the treadmill, I have thoughts for about 2 minutes mm-hmm. and then it all checks out. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to try that.
You know, here's the thing. Thoughts are optional.
I know.
You get to direct your brain.
I know.
You're allowing all those thoughts to go not so crazy in your mind. What if you just concentrated on your breathing and counted the cars or how many red cars do I see? Or, you know, something meditative as you drive. You're allowing, your habit is to allow all those all the stuff to go on in your head and your yeah. home. It's probably why you get home so whacked out and stressed out. You're probably driving like this, right?
Probably.
So that's only adding to your angst. And that doesn't have anything to do with being introverted. That's just not using time that is available to you to recharge.
Yes. Okay. Interesting. Okay.
So that's, does that help? That.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to see how that goes and then I'll check back in with you and I'll see you in August too. So.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. You're coming to Transformation Weekend.
I'm super excited. Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Well, good deal. All right. Yeah.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Deanna, your turn. Well, I'm trying to. There you are.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I just had a binge, so I thought I'd get on here and maybe talk about it.
Okay. Like just now?
Yeah, it started about 5 and it ended at 6:40.
Okay.
I'm usually, I don't beat myself up that much. Cause like if I have a overeat up to like +3 or something. But I guess this was putting more food than usual. So I feel kind of stuffed. And so I'm trying not to beat myself up about it. Mm-hmm. I'm just disappointed because yesterday I had an easy time dismissing an urge. I guess I was super motivated last night. I was listening to the buffering mm-hmm. workshop and I just dismissed it. I had an urge during the workshop. But I was hungry actually at that time. But I said to myself, I had planned not to eat after 8 last night. So I thought I had done such a great job and went to bed without eating. I had dinner earlier that night. But anyway, today I was hoping that I would continue this, you know. So I'm just disappointed about it. But I did a recovery while waiting to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a lot of different thoughts and feelings today. And basically, I didn't even try to dismiss the urge this time.
Okay.
It started like a little quit, like, oh, I'll just have a little something.
Mm-hmm. But what was happening before that? Okay. The urge is in the feelings line and the eating is in the action line, right? So there's always a thought that creates the feeling. So on your recovery sheet, you know, where it talks about what's mm-hmm. the thought that you were thinking, mm-hmm. what was that?
Well,
what was going on at the time?
I have written some feelings more than thoughts there.
Okay, so tell me.
And the excuses and justifications, that part?
Well, no. Okay, go ahead and read that. Let's see what that says.
It won't matter. Mm-hmm. I can still see a loss on Friday.
Okay, so that's all the justification for the continuing to eat. What was happening before that?
I really wasn't aware of my thoughts, but I think I was feeling frustrated.
Okay.
I have a bunch of different feelings there. Okay.
Why were you feeling frustrated?
Misunderstanding with my son.
Okay.
A lot of stuff happened today, actually. I went to visit my grandmother in the nursing home and I felt guilty. I dread going back to work tomorrow. I had off today.
Okay.
Feel a feeling of scarcity about money right now.
Okay.
I was with my mom and my brother, and I was talking to them about my weight loss and P&P.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed last time I did that, I'm happy about it, but in the back of my mind, once I start talking to them about it, I feel a fear like I'm not really going to make it all the way through.
Okay.
You know, especially when I talk to them about it.
Okay.
So I put fear there.
Okay. So which one of those do you feel the most intensely? I wrote down scarcity, guilt, dread, and fear. Which one of those, if you had to pick one, which one do you feel the most intensely?
I think fear.
Okay. So why do you think? I'm echoing. Why do you think you feel the fear of of not being successful? Is that it? It was not being successful, right? Why do you think you have that fear?
Because I haven't been successful in the past.
Okay.
With weight loss, and I feel that especially my brother sees me as fat and I see myself through his eyes.
No, you see yourself through your own eyes. Okay. Your brother, I don't know what your brother says, but you see yourself through your own. Don't blame your brother for thinking.
That's true. I can't blame him for my thoughts.
No, I mean, he could also think you were thin. And you wouldn't see yourself that way, I'm betting, because you have this fear that you won't lose weight. So let's take the brother and set him aside, okay? Because he gets to say and think whatever he wants. He gets to be a jackass or he gets to be a nice guy. It doesn't matter, okay? Because you have a thought about him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's true.
So the fear of not being successful,
mm-hmm.
you said you fear that because you haven't felt the success in the past, right?
Yeah, I never got to goal weight.
What does that matter? Why does that matter?
Because I want it so bad. I think I want it so bad.
But why does it matter that you haven't attained it yet?
I guess. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
It doesn't. The answer is it doesn't matter. Okay. The mindset that you create today is the mindset that you need moving forward. You're not going to find any... You're not here today. Nobody is in PMP today because they've had, because they've already, oh, look, I've lost all my weight. Let me join PMP, right?
Right. Yeah. But
the people who are successful create a mindset that allows them to be open to the possibility that this is it. Or they've decided, this is my chance. This is it. This is it for me.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. Right?
I have definitely had those emotions. And I have always often said about PMP, this is the best thing I've ever found. And I really believe it's going to work.
Okay. So if you really believe it's going to work, and then you have a little doubt, what do you make that doubt mean?
It's almost like, if I have that doubt, then I'm going to be unsuccessful.
Right. What if it's just doubt? What if it's just a feeling that comes up
mm-hmm.
and you're like, well, that's supposed to be there because this is new and because I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
Right. I bet how many different places in your life do you have? Like, look, we can use work for instance. Okay. For me. I'll just use me. I'm going to show up on office hours tonight with a little bit of doubt as to whether or not I'm really going to be able to help Deanna, or I'm really going to be able to show Deanna how to move past this bench.
Yeah.
All right. If I show up with that doubt and I look at you and go, oh no, I don't know if I'm going to be able to help her. Do you think I'm going to be able to help you? Or can I just say, you know what? Doubt's normal. So I'm going to put it over here on the table and I'm going to say, I see you. I have the doubts there. It's okay. I'm just going to show up the best I can and see if I can help Deanna tonight.
Like show up anyway, even though you have the doubt.
It's called acting as if. I know the person I want to be. I know the coach I want to be. I know the weight loss result I want to gain. I'm going to act as if I'm going to do that. I'm going to be that person. And I know that doubt's going to be there because doubt means I'm human.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
You can't expect to be like, I believe every day. You know, sometimes I'm going to have doubts.
Right. You just process the doubt and you ask yourself, you know, what am I doubting today? Am I doubting that I'll be successful at this? I just had a binge. I'm really doubting today, right? Yeah. But is that really what I want to think? Or do I want to actually go back and look at this binge, see if I can figure it out and move forward and see what happens next time? Right? You said you weren't beating yourself up. There's not a lot of self-judgment, right?
Yeah, usually like when I go past a two, like to a three, when I do recovery worksheets, I've been like the next day back on track, back making plans and mm-hmm. not even a thought to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to quit this time either, but it's just I felt kind of down about it. So I thought I'd get on here.
Yeah. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did.
Me too.
Doubt is just, it's just human, right? It's just one of those things that happens. And it's actually, to me, it's kind of fascinating when I look at doubt. And it a lot of times it has to do with self-talk. I'm not good enough. I'll never get this. That's what creates doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I see those thoughts and I think, is that really the truth? Now, I get this 6 out of 7 days a week, right? I just had a, you know, had a tough day. And that just means I have something to learn. We always mm-hmm. will have something to learn, right?
Yes. Yes. It's my turn to learn, because when people that I know in PMP struggle, I tell them, you know, just do a recovery and try again. But when it's yourself, you know, it's a different story. You have to take your own advice.
Yeah, it's not a different story. Don't tell yourself that.
Right.
Right? Be your own. The whole purpose of PMP is for you to lose weight and become your own coach. To coach yourself and to learn how to manage your own mind through all the doubt, through all the fear, through all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's not going away. You just learn how to manage it.
Yeah. When I was doing this recovery, I realized lately I haven't been doing TDLs. So that's part of this. You know, I could have been part of my feelings, you know.
It's a huge part of it, because you do that TDL and you get to see all that stuff that's going on in your head. When you put it out on paper, you can actually check it off. Nope, don't want to think this one. I do want to think that one. And I did one not too long ago. It had 10 thoughts in it, 10 sentences. I actually went back and I circled the sentences I really wanted to believe. There were three.
3 out of 10?
3 out of 10.
Wow.
Right? And I look at the other ones and I said, no, that is not the world I want to live in.
Yeah. And when I was doing it more often, I feel that it was helping me a lot. So I need to get back into writing.
Every day.
Like, it was helping me process things and turning off the feeling that I wanted to eat so much.
Every day. Yep. That helped.
Thank you so much. Yes, very much. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye, Kathy.
Alrighty. Bye.
Bye.
Is the thought download the same as an overeat? No. A thought download is a Dear Diary journal entry where you get out a piece of paper and you write down everything that's going on in your head. Okay, you should always do a thought download every day. You should always empty out your brain, see what you're thinking on paper, and decide if it's what you want to think. So a thought download is a journal entry, okay? When you overeat, it's a great time to do a thought download to see if you can figure out why you overeat. So I hope that answers that question. All right, Mitzi, you're up. I'm trying to unmute you. Hang on. All right.
Hi.
That did it.
Okay. This is my first time doing a call. I'm an April newbie.
Well, hi.
Hi. And I have noticed that over the past 2 months since I've joined the tribe, I've been kind of stagnant in my weight loss.
Okay.
I lose some weight. I get excited. I even got to join the Queen's Club lately.
Great.
And then I gain it back.
Okay.
And I'm getting really, really frustrated. And so last week was my birthday. And so there were all kinds of celebrations. And my goal for that was to just stay the same. And I did, which was great. So this month I decided to just, you know what, I'm going to want to nail all four basics and really stick to plan so that I can move forward.
Okay.
And what I'm seeing is I'm doing thought downloads every day, and there's this frustration that bubbles up, and it really comes out at night. When I'm at work, you know, I can follow my plan. I can go 2 to 2, not a problem. I get all my water in. Everything is great. I come home, and it's almost like the monster unleashes.
The monster in you.
The monster unleashes. It's not that I can't say no to myself. I don't want to.
Okay. And why not?
Because according to my thought downloads that I've been looking at it, I'm like, I deserve it after the day that I've had.
That's the thought. I deserve it. What do you really deserve? Do you deserve to eat, or do you deserve a thin body?
I deserve a thin body. Yes. I want a thin body.
So call baloney on that thought.
Okay.
Sorry, when you hear yourself say, I deserve this.
Girls on my PNP are watching, and so they're pinging me on Facebook to let me know that they're seeing me on the call. Yeah, so it's, you know, I've just been so frustrated, and I feel like I can't get behind out from behind that thought because I know it's a bullshit thought.
Oh, no, you can. You can get out from behind the thought. Don't tell yourself you can't because then you won't. Tell yourself, I'm watching for that thought. That one's, I got it on radar because that's the one I know is going to send me to the pantry. That's the one I know is going to create all the urges to overeat. So I'm watching for it. That one's on radar. Okay. Because really, truly, if you think about it, this is what I love about this thought. I had a bad day, so I deserve to eat. Now, when your logical brain looks at that thought, what does it see?
Wow. I honestly haven't even thought to think of it that way or just stop and think of it.
Yeah.
So honestly, I'm like, I don't know, but I don't know is not an answer. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No.
It doesn't make sense at all.
It doesn't make sense at all. You might, you know, if you come home frustrated, you might deserve a little, you know, or you might be entitled to a little decompress time, mm-hmm. kind of like Stacy.
Yeah. Oh, I
took it doesn't mean you get cookie. Right.
Well, for me, it's these cocoa yogurt covered raisins that I get at Walmart. Okay. They are delicious. Okay.
Well, I'm sure they are. But having a bad day doesn't mean you get to queue up raisins, right?
Well, I wish it was only raisins.
But the point is, this is actually where you probably do journal and see what thought is leading to the frustration. Okay. What we're talking about is the I deserve it is the thought before the overeat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you back the truck up a little bit and you do the model that's before that,
okay.
You come home frustrated. Why are you frustrated? What's the thought that's creating the frustration first?
Well, I can tell you because I have been doing the TDLs every day since June 1st, mm-hmm. and there has been frustration. For example, I have to replace my HVAC system, and I really don't want to spend the money on it.
Okay.
Another one is I'm in a condo unit, and my neighbor from two doors down puts their grill underneath my windows, and their stuff comes in. So the confrontation, and they think of that, and I'm like, I don't want to have to think of that. So there has been some frustration lately that I just haven't wanted to deal with, but I did take action.
Well, good. I was going to say you are dealing with them by eating the cocoa, whatever they were, raisins, right? Yeah. Which is unproductive.
Okay.
Take the raisins out of the picture. And it sounds like you said you've dealt with.
I've dealt with both issues,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have.
That's the productive work that you can do when you're not eating because you.
Well, that's what I have on my goals for the day. These mm-hmm. are the things I'm going to do, and mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure I dealt with them so that I can get that out of my head. But they were, especially the HVAC thing, well, actually more so the neighbor thing was bigger because I don't like to go and confront people. Mm-hmm. Nobody does, but dealing with that was just a little harder for me. Mm-hmm. But I did it, and it was a lot easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's what we do to ourselves. We create these great big stories about how hard something is going to be, whether it's confronting a neighbor or following our plan. And it's really not that hard once you set your mind to doing it and you plan how you're going to deal with the neighbor, just like you plan how you're going to deal with your day. Right.
Yes.
And that's probably what you did. You probably rehearsed a little bit, probably visualized a little bit. You went down there and you put on your best face and boom, done.
Yeah, I did. It actually ended up being a lot different than how I envisioned it going, but in a good way. So
yeah, you disaster planned like the best of us. Right.
Yes, I do. Totally do.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I guess, you know, it's just recognizing the thought that I deserve it and just be like, no, no, no. I deserve the thin body. instead.
Yeah. Or I deserve to, you know, not have his grill right under my window, or I deserve air conditioning.
Yes.
What part of the country do you live in? Because I know in Tennessee, I deserve air conditioning.
I'm in Chicago right now for, it's been a very, very mild summer.
Yes.
You know, the air conditioning guy came out, what have you. It's scheduled for next Friday so they can come in. And what's nice is that every night during the 10-day period that I have to wait, it's going to be like 50s and 60s at night. Yeah. So I'm thankful because normally it's, well, 70s, 80s at night, you know, Chicago can get it. Well, last year was in the 90s around this time of year.
Mary Jo, you know, lives up there. She lives in Chicago and or outside of Chicago. And she was here for the race weekend. And she came down, she spent the night here Sunday night so she could catch her flight Monday morning. She came downstairs. She had a long sleeve shirt on. And I'm thinking, it's going to be 90 degrees here. What are you doing? And she said, the high in Chicago is 68 today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. She said the biggest problem she's had is the humidity.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not, it's not the out. It's not the heat. It's just humid.
Mm-hmm. So, it's been raining. Anyway. So.
Oh, wow.
But that's okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. All right. Take care.
See you. Bye. Melissa, your turn. Then Kara and Rebecca.
See me?
Hi.
Hi. Hey, Miss Kathy, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Okay, well, that worked really easily this time. So two quick questions.
Okay.
One, ways to start small, working out. Again, maybe for someone who's been injured or someone hasn't worked out in a long, long time. Or like, I hear everybody saying, okay, well, they started working out when they were, you know, 100 pounds overweight. And so I'm just curious as to what everybody started with. What were the starting places?
Where do you want to start? What do you like doing?
Well, I've already started just going to the gym and just walking on the treadmill.
Okay.
Just starting there. In fact, that's where I'm headed to right now.
It's always my advice if you're starting to exercise is that you try different things and find out what you love and do that.
Okay.
That's it. Easy peasy. Yep.
Easy peasy.
Find out what you like doing, what you're going to do, and what feels good, and just do it. And then work your way up from there. Try different things. If you have a gym, you probably have some classes you can try. Try a class or two. Get some information about the classes from the people running the gym. You know, tell them you're a beginner. What should you try? Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Okay. And then a thought question.
Okay.
So I've spent a lot of time just really listening to myself and just doing lots of TDLs and finding my thoughts and then really listening to my body and just figuring out, because one of my feelings a lot that I deal with is overwhelm. Mm-hmm. And so I had to just start really narrowing that down and finding all the little things that make me feel overwhelmed and learning what that feels like in my body and just being able to go, that's overwhelm.
Okay, yep.
I know what that feels like. And, so like I'm nearly mental ninja there, but,
nearly mental ninja on my way.
Like I'm so open to believing that I'm going to be a mental ninja.
Awesome. Awesome.
It's a joke. Anyway, but the places I found where I still kind of get hung up and have trouble are, like I get overwhelmed a lot. Like if I'm going through my house and I see something and I'm like, oh, I've got to clean that up. That's got to be cleaned up. Or, hey, this really needs to be done. Or, okay, that laundry basket is really behind or something like that. And it's things that are true. Like that does need to be done. Or, you know, see something that's cluttered and may think, okay, I really need to declutter that, but I don't have time right now. Like I cannot stop what I'm doing right now and declutter that. So I'm looking for the replacement thought that I can put in place at that moment, not to just take away the, like, I know I'm not ever supposed to just not feel discomfort or anything like that, but the thought that I can put in place at that moment to deal with, yes, I know that really needs to be done, but I cannot do it right now. And then like,
what's wrong with that thought?
Well, because my mind, then I start trying to problem solve and I'm like, okay, well, when am I going to do it? When am I going to, let me find a slot of time where I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And many times
and there's never a slot of time, right? well, the way you deal with overwhelm, here's how you deal with overwhelm, is you break everything down into little pieces and you move into action on one of the little pieces. So if you walk in your house and you see a million things to put away, mm-hmm. you say, this section, this section, this section, this section, I'm going to take care of this one right now. Okay. So you break the big jobs into little pieces and you do one of the little pieces, right? So overwhelm can't exist while you're actually doing something.
Okay. So, I'm usually really good at that. I've KonMari'd almost my entire house, just a little section at a time. I never took, 2 weeks and did it all.
Right.
Just a little section at a time. But there's still things that need to be done. And of course they pile up every day. And so I have mm-hmm. six children and right. so my brain goes to, okay, well I'll take care of this little bit and I'm going to leave all the rest of this. But if I just take care of a little bit, then there's going to be like 12 other, those things multiply around okay. here. And so, and I get it. And I'm not trying to argue.
I think your thought is I'll never keep up. I think that's the problem.
Yes.
It's not, I have so much to do. It's, I can never keep up. Mm-hmm. What if you decide that you are keeping up in the best way you can? What if that's your thought? If you're good at moving into action and you're not sitting in overwhelm, just stewing and worrying and scheduling and making lists and whatever, if you're actually moving yourself into action, can't you tell yourself I'm keeping up the best I can?
Oh, I guess I could. And that's where the problem is, because my standard has always been, some place higher than where mm-hmm. I'm able to get to mm-hmm. right now.
Maybe some days you just can't, because there's other things. What is that? I mean, what's wrong with that?
I don't know. Okay. So let me think through that for a second. So maybe the fear that if I just can't today, that I won't get to it tomorrow. And I don't know that. It'll,
okay. So what?
Just keep piling up and keep piling up. And then I'll get so far behind that I can't.
That's it. I'll get so far behind. Just keep piling up and I'll get so far behind. That's what causes the overwhelm.
Yeah.
Does that ever really happen?
Does it ever really happen? Okay, no, it doesn't ever really happen, because right. there are times when I just say, okay, we're going to call an all stop to school. We homeschool. So today we're going to take a day off and we're not going to homeschool and we're all going to pitch in and we're all going to clean the house and get everything back on even keel. And we're going to, dust the ceiling fans and do the baseboards mm-hmm. and, all of the things that.
So you handle it. So when your brain goes to, I'll never keep up, or this is all going to pile up and it'll never get done, you know how to handle it already.
Okay. So maybe, right? Okay. So then maybe I'm just not liking the way I'm handling it, because, I'm not trying to be, okay. So I'm just trying to work my way back uh-huh. through these. Uh-huh. So in my mind, if I have to take a day off from homeschool, I'm like, oh, it's another day. The kids didn't get, the kids didn't get schooled that day. And I'm kind of battling that a little bit now, because our girls have been so sick and they've been so much time in the hospital this year mm-hmm. that I felt like we're a little bit behind anyway. And so I think that's why the house is weighing on me so much, because my natural go-to mm-hmm. for catch up is, my safety net is take a day off and do it.
You know that the girls are a little bit behind anyway is a thought, right?
Yeah.
Do you know that for real?
That they're behind?
That's a thought?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I didn't, but I do now. That is a thought.
Yes.
Behind what? It's relative. Okay.
It's relative. Right.
Okay.
Okay. I wonder if that's the one that's at the core of all this.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So so what you need to do instead of taking care of each task is you need to take care of each day intentionally. And it starts with, how am I going to show up today for what needs to get done? Okay. And then you get to decide what needs to get done. That's your thought pattern, is you get to decide what the day brings. Okay.
Okay. All right.
I think you're in reactive mode. You see all the stuff around you. You feel like you have to fix it all right now, rather than being proactive. And that all starts in your mind as well.
Okay. Well, tell me.
Do you believe me?
I do believe you, but I'm like, okay, so I'm trying to wrap my mind out. So what's the difference of reactive mode and being proactive? So reactive is I just see things that around me that aren't done, that usually do get done, and I'm just reacting with overwhelm and all these things. Mm-hmm. Or I look at our schedule and I think, okay, by this time of the year, we've usually accomplished this much, and this year we haven't. And so I'm just reacting. But my reaction is to usually just, you know, run like crazy trying to do everything I can possibly do, for, you know, days on end. But,
but if you get up tomorrow morning and decide what's going to get done?
Oh, okay. So I see what you're saying. Instead of just seeing, so no matter what I see, no matter what's there, no matter what's done, I'm going to decide this is what I'm going to do today. Like a 24-hour plan. These are the things I'm going to do today.
Right.
And do.
And then when you start to, your brain starts bombarding you with, what about this and what about this and what about that? And, you know, because that's what it's going to do. You say, but I've already
planned for my to-do list.
Right. I've already decided this is what I'm going to do today. Maybe I'll put that on the plane for tomorrow.
It's a 24-hour plan for the to-do list.
Yeah. Beautiful. Super cool tool, that 24-hour plan.
It is indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So when you get tempted with the urge to clean the dining room ceiling fan or whatever it was, the ceiling fans and the baseboard, you can say, well, I can put that on the plan tomorrow. Because today, already got my plan set.
Genius.
Those kind of thoughts probably lead to a more controlled feeling, don't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And when you feel more controlled, you carry out the plan. You execute. The only thing I want you to watch for is that with your girls and with all that you have going on, you can allow for some flexibility. Because, you know, somebody might decide they need to go to the hospital or somebody, right?
Yeah. Or we might stay there for a week or two.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay. You just know when you create your plan, this is what I intend to get done today. You know, should everything go as it normally does.
So I can just do it exactly like I do my 24-hour plan for eating. Like I have a plan, but then I have my backup plan if somebody goes to the hospital.
Right.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye. Kara, you're next. Let's unmute you. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. I have a question. Today, earlier, I had an overeat and it had to do with my job. Okay. So I own a bakery and a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And I was the bad review person. I don't know if you coach that on the coaching, ask coaches, but we had our first true bad review and it was about quality of the food. And I've kind of been putting that like at the back burner because I don't want to taste everything every day. And I don't want to make my employees do it either. But we got a new shipment of cupcakes in from our cupcake lady. And she had an old shipment of cupcakes in. And cupcakes was what one of the reviews were about. So I'm in the conversation with my employee and I was frustrated about something that had happened prior, but I was like, well, you know what? I don't know. I'm going to have to taste this. and it was not on my plan. And she didn't, I asked my employee, because that was my first go-to, was, why don't you taste it? Well, then she didn't want to taste it. And I was like, well, I have to have an answer right now. So, I went ahead and bit into the cupcake and had icing and a bite of the other cupcake. While I was doing it, I was just in the conversation with her. I was just in semi-work mode, you know. I didn't have the, I did something wrong until I went in for the next bite, the third bite, the bite of where I was just enjoying it at that point. And so I guess I'm just left, and I did a recovery worksheet, just because it wasn't on my plan. It was a very neutral worksheet all the way through because it was dealing with work, I think is why it was so, it felt all the answers felt really neutral. Like I had to do it. I wanted to do it. And so I guess my real question is, was it a true overeat if I caught myself into the urge of finishing it when I needed to do it? Or do you have any great ideas of how to handle it in the future?
All right. I understand the reason for the first bite. Mm-hmm. What was the reason for the second one?
The first bite was the icing, and the second bite was the cake itself.
All right. What was the third
bite? And I think I went into the icing first when I could have gotten both together because icing is my favorite.
Okay.
So I think that's what was really going on in the back of my brain was, you normally eat the icing of a cupcake, so go in for that.
Okay. Why did you eat the rest of it? The rest of what you ate?
Well, I didn't. I didn't.
Okay. Tell me again. You ate icing, then you ate cake.
I had icing, I ate cake, and then I went in for the third bite, but then put it down and threw the cupcake away.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I went in for it and thought about it and was like, that's not right. And so I'm not supposed to eat this. And normally, and I've been doing really well with, because that was one of my biggest fears when the coffee shop did open, was all of these things now are really available to me. And so actually I've had better weight loss once it's opened because I think I've been more conscious of it versus just grab assing. And I'm like, well, and I have to be somewhere every day. So it's more of a scheduled thing versus me just kind of doing my own thing every day. But I guess I just don't know. The first two bites were...
Do you like your reasons for eating cupcake?
Yes and no. I don't like the reasons because when I did the recovery worksheet, if I would have just taken the thought of, okay, we have, or the circumstance really, if I would have just taken the circumstance, gone over to my office and then come up with something to do with these six cupcakes that were still sitting here versus like trying to answer the employee's question as soon as possible, I would not have taken those bites. I could have literally picked up a new cupcake and picked up an old cupcake and squished them and actually felt that. So there were other things I could do. And so, no, that's why I was unhappy with what I did.
So you really actually felt justified in taking, in the moment, you probably felt justified in taking the bite. You had justified.
Oh, in the moment, absolutely. Yes. I was completely justified.
Right.
It was coming after, and I also found this out in the recovery worksheet that, because it said, what else were you feeling prior to it? And when I had walked in, I walked into a complete chaos to deal with refrigerators. So that I think was still pretty fresh and why my like habit brain just was like, well, taste it, you know? Yeah.
So it sounds to me like you think this was an overeat, that
you
justified your way into it. And if that's the case, then doing the recovery worksheet is the right thing to do and taking the opportunity to, you know, figure out how you would do it differently next time is the right thing to do.
Okay.
I think you coached your own way through this, to be honest.
I probably did. Well, and I'm not normally a recovery worksheet person. I'm trying harder. So, I know. My one thing that I did want to ask you was the only thing, asked me that and I answered it. What could I have done differently while eating next time? Mm-hmm. I just answered that. So maybe I did coach myself on it.
You can squish them. You can squish them.
Right. Exactly. I squished them. I think my other question is, should I build these things in for the next couple of weeks until I truly become super aware of finding that circumstance? Like go ahead and build it into my plan.
You're talking about trying to decide if the cupcakes are good?
No, yeah, not that, but products in general. And just,
is that the only way you can tell if they're good? Is if you eat them?
It's not. I guess.
Let me ask you this question. You have one bad review. How many good reviews do you have?
We have a lot. Well, we have a lot.
You're justifying again. Everybody, you know, everybody has an opinion. Not everybody's opinion is going to be yours.
Well, yeah, exactly. And this weekend during the weekend, I can't remember if it was a 2-day or if it was during the race camp part. But I think it was 2-day where Corinne was, it was actually about the ladies who were dating and how it was, you know, they were fear of being rejected. And I think this coincides with it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I reject people all day. Like, why did you come in here? You are really annoying. So that's technically me rejecting them. So why can I not be open to them rejecting me? I think that's what I'm going to TDL about tonight, actually.
I think that's a really good idea. I would also TDL on why you think your coffee shop is going to be perfect 100% of the time.
That's a good one too.
Why you think everyone else is going to think your coffee shop is perfect 100% of the time.
Yeah, that's a great one. I'm going to write that one down for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. So I will do those two TBLs. I'm on 3 of 90. So I'm getting there slowly.
Good. Do it.
3 of 90.
Is that your 90 day goal? TDL every day?
That is. Going over circumstances and how I just don't see them. Like, I let those thoughts just take over. Even that, in the coaching, it was the negative. It wasn't just the review. The first time I did the TDL or the model, I put negative review, but that's a thought. It's a negative review.
Right.
It should have just been review.
Right.
It's so I'm getting there.
Right.
Getting there slowly but surely. But thank you so much.
You're welcome. See you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Rebecca? You're next. Here we go. Hi. Are you there? Hey.
So, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So, different situation.
Okay.
I live out of town Monday through Friday, go home with my husband Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Since I've been doing that, he's lost his job of 30 years, has not been able to find another one, is going through major depression.
Okay.
I know I can't change him.
Right.
But this weekend, when I went home, he said he didn't want me to come back until he's figured it out.
Okay.
I know. Logically, I can't make him or not make him happy. I can't fix his depression. He's going to have to do it. I was doing really well with the self-love until this. So how do I get past this incident and just start working on myself? Because that's all I can do at this point.
All right.
I can't change him, but I can't seem to get to that level and let it go.
All right. So your husband said this, and that's the C line of your model. That's the fact. You have a thought about that fact. What is that thought?
I guess scared.
No, that's the feeling. What's the thought?
That he doesn't want me.
He doesn't want me. Is that the truth?
At this point, I honestly can't answer that.
Okay. That's the problem. I think your brain thinks it's the truth. I think you're convinced he doesn't want me. That's what that means. When you don't really know, that's only a thought. That's only the thought that you're applying to that what he said. Okay. So the circumstance, the fact is what he said. You know, that's irrefutable.
Right.
The thought is he doesn't want me. And it sounds to me like you're thinking that's the truth because
probably
of what he said.
Yes.
So that's what's causing your pain. You know, that's what's leading to the fear. And when you're afraid, you cry, you stew, you negative self-talk, you project, you know, try and think of what he's thinking. Right. And then the result is that you're also unhappy with yourself.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's really important here for you to distinguish what he said from what you make it mean.
Okay. Which okay. makes sense. Because logically, okay. I know.
Right.
I just right. can't get to the logic.
Let's think about him for just a minute. All right. Let's put ourselves in his mind for a minute. He's lost his job. You're working, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're out there working. What do you think he's thinking right now about his job loss?
Well, I know. That's why his depression is where it's at. I mean,
what
do you
go from thinking? He's depressed. That's his feeling. What is he thinking?
That he's less of a person because he doesn't have a job.
He's comparing himself to you. And when you come home, even though you're coming home with all the love in your heart, he's comparing himself. Okay.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
So now, as you think about what he might be really thinking about his job loss, you get to decide how you're going to show up. You get to decide whether it's best to stay or whether it's best to go home and work it out. Whether it's best to stay and give him space, whether it's best to go home and be home. Okay?
Okay.
You need to remember that he's created thoughts about him that he's created.
Right.
And all he's done for you is say something and you attach the meaning to that.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So if in fact he's thinking, you know, I'm less of a man, I'm not good enough, I've lost my job, I'm a terrible person, all these things. How do you want to react to that? What do you want to think about all that?
Well, I've been trying to realize what he's going through and not take it personal. On the logical level, I know exactly what's going on,
mm-hmm.
but I can't seem to get my feelings to go along with the logic.
All right. So what if you just feel the feelings? Well, give me one of the feelings.
I think the biggest one is, you know, the other comment that he made is maybe when I come to the other side, we'll have grown apart.
Okay.
So I think my biggest, it's a fear
okay.
of not being able to work it out after, okay. and I need to let go. But after 27 years, it's like, I feel like he's giving up, but he's not.
Okay.
Logically, I can tell you exactly, but I can't seem to get my head wrapped and my feelings wrapped around to come to the logical side.
All right. And that's because you're resisting the fear.
Okay.
All right. You're not allowing yourself to really, really fear the fear. I would TDL the heck out of that fear.
Okay.
I would write down every single thing I think about it. Every single fear I have, I would just TDL, TDL, TDL over and over again every day. Because what's going to happen as you allow yourself to feel this fear and as you talk about it with yourself in your thought download,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen is you're going to have a real mess in the beginning. You're going to have 25 or 30 different thoughts that you know you don't want to think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But as you do it over several days' time, the really, really poison ones are going to rise to the top. You're naturally going to say, that's not true. I'm not going to think that anymore. That's not true. That's not true. But there's going to be two or three, maybe, that will rise to the top that are really, really sticklers for you. And those are the ones you go to work on.
Okay.
But you have to feel that fear and acknowledge it in order to move through it and get to work on your relationship with him and on the fear that you have about it.
Okay.
Okay. You can't resist it. You have to really, really think about it and work it. Okay. That's the healthy thing to do.
Okay. Cause yeah, I think I've been buffering by trying to do the self course and tell myself mm-hmm. that I'm working on myself, but I'm really not. Right. I'm avoiding.
You're just avoiding, right? You're just avoiding the fear.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause it's easier to avoid.
Absolutely. It's easier to disconnect from it. But in the long run, let's just say that. I think Corinne would kick my ass if she heard me say that. It's not easier because perpetuate the problem, right?
I'm not dealing with the underlying
issue. In the moment, it's the choice we make because we think it's easier.
Right.
Right. It's not because you perpetuate the problem.
Right.
So right. Let me be clear. So she doesn't.
Yeah, I understood. What you-
Well, I want to make sure everybody hears that because that's what.
No, I agree.
That's really what buffering does. It feels easier, but it's not.
Right.
You're and you're just leaving all the problems on the table.
And I'm just justifying it. Instead of overeating, I'm over concentrating on everything but
right.
what I need to work on.
And here's the other thing for you to work on and think about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He thinks his thinks.
Right.
Right? He mm-hmm. feels his feels.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change any of that. And you said that at the very beginning. But even if he thinks in this moment, I don't know if I want you to come home, it's still his thought.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You get to make it mean whatever you want it to mean. And it could just be he's hurting right now.
Right. Which is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It could be all it is.
And I'm sure deep down, logically, I know that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've just got to get to the point where feelings wise, I've come to terms with that and quit fighting everything else.
Right.
Okay.
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 All right. Get to work.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Christina, you're next. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. I wanted to speak to you about something that I actually was Marco Poloing about the other day to my tribe sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them kind of called me out and they were like, hey, I think you need to call and speak to someone. Okay. So the thing is, I'm getting ready to go on a family trip with my in-laws, a sister-in-law and three kids. My husband is Hispanic, and so obviously all the other in-laws and mm-hmm. everyone else's. So we're going to be in a road trip and whatever. And I said that I am foregoing my dieting, and I'm willing to gain 5 pounds on this trip because I don't want to be the fussy one. I mean, I'm already kind of the white girl who has all these, you know, I only eat chicken breast and I already have all of my issues.
Mm-hmm.
My father, well, majority, my in-laws are shorter in stature and so is my sister-in-law. And I'm 5'9", you know, I started about 270. I've lost 58 pounds so far.
Wow.
Uh-huh. 30 since January when I started the tribe. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very sensitive about my size. And it's very apparent when I'm with them that I'm kind of the sore thumb anyway.
Oh, that's a thought.
So, well,
that's a good thought, actually. You've said that twice now. I'm already the white girl and I'm the sore thumb.
Yeah, I'm feeling like, you know, my father-in-law makes little jokes, mm-hmm. you know, if I say my feet hurt or he's like, well, if I'm carrying all that weight around all day, you know, he has just little snippet comments that really cut me to the core. And I go in my room and cry about it. And, So
your father-in-law says things.
Yes.
And you have a thought about them.
Right. What? And I think that makes it mean that, you know, they wish that their son had married someone else or, you know, thinner, smaller Mexican, you know.
What a real hang-up about this. That's, everything you've said so far goes back to you being the tall white girl that's not Mexican.
Yeah. Because I feel I feel like I don't fit in. And
that's the thing. That's why you're willing to gain 5 pounds. That's why you're willing to give up chicken breasts and not talk about your feet hurting.
Yeah, because
you feel like that. You feel different.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Are you really different? Does your husband think you're different?
Well, my husband's been in America for 16 years, so he's pretty Americanized,
right?
And
so why is this such a pain point for you?
I think just because I want to be accepted.
Like, okay,
I want to be, you know, like, I don't know.
Okay,
that's part of why I'm calling you.
I don't think you've accepted yourself in this relation, in this family. I don't think you've accepted that you're part of this family. I think you've decided you stick out like a sore thumb. Well, that's what you said. And that you're taller than everyone. And
well, I've made many, many trips to Mexico, and mm-hmm. it is very, there's no hiding me places.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar thinks he doesn't fit in? You know who that is, right?
Yes.
I'm showing my age. He's like,
yes, yes. I absolutely. Do you think 45 next month? I absolutely know who he is.
Well, there's probably a 20-year-old on here going, I don't know who that is. But do you think he thinks he doesn't fit in, or is he just going to the grocery store?
I'm probably sure when he goes through doorways, he probably has a moment where.
Well, that's only because he doesn't want to smack himself in the head. But
yes.
But honestly, he's tall.
Yes.
Right. I mean, he's probably taller than 7 feet. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, I would think so.
But I would bet that he's accepted his height as part of his person. And that's just how he is in the world.
Yeah. I think I've always had some self, mm-hmm. like body issues, some self-image issues. Really am starting to feel pretty. Or, you know, just kind of quiet down like the inner Krabby Patty that I got going on, because she's pretty mean. But
why are you starting to feel pretty?
Because I'm really, really trying to do some work on myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when other people look at me, though, they still see this external version of me, and without really. Even my in-laws, they don't take time to maybe see all of the nuances that is me. And
is that the truth?
Well, I don't really spend much time with them.
Do they like you? Do they, are they nice to you?
My mother-in-law is very mm-hmm. sweet. Whenever I go to Mexico, she doesn't speak English. So okay. I've learned Spanish.
Why do you think
pretty well?
Why do you think she shows you kindness?
Because I love her son so well.
Mm-hmm. Because she's accepted you as her daughter-in-law. That's what I'm guessing. Of course, I don't know that. Yeah. But I'm guessing she wouldn't show you kindness if she hadn't done that.
Right. I guess I was just worried that, you know, it's going to exacerbate the differences if I'm going with my binder in the car, and I'm like, hope I can't eat that. Hope I can't this. And, you know,
well, here's the thing.
Here's
the thing. You get to define your food protocol. You can totally go down there and say, I'm eating all the things.
Right.
Right. You just have to like your reasons. I don't think you like your reasons. My opinion.
Right.
I think you're avoiding the whole self-image thing and hiding behind, I'll just eat whatever they, and maybe they won't notice. They'll notice if I ask for a chicken breast instead of eating the, you know, the tacos or whatever it is that they fix. I don't know.
Yeah. So,
right. So if you just hide behind, you know, and hope they don't notice, then you don't have to deal with I'm 5'9" and taller than everyone.
Right. So I guess I didn't think about it that way. I thought I was just trying to be maybe going along with the flow a little better and a little less difficult. And
is it really, are you really being difficult though? Are you, I mean,
or is my tribe sister didn't think I was, she said I definitely am worth Yeah, she's like, you are definitely worth saying, no, I'm sorry, I'm taking better care of myself now. And I just felt like, oh, that's going to be an inconvenience. And maybe that's, you know, where I'm, you know, my self-worth issues again. You know, I don't want to inconvenience other people.
It sounds like you just don't want to draw attention to yourself by asking. And that's one way you're gonna hide from hoping that they don't see that you're the, what did you call yourself?
Oh, the sore thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. hoping that, you know, because if you eat whatever they're eating, then maybe you won't stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. Just keep my head down, you know, just.
Right. Right. Why don't you also cut yourself off at the knees so you're shorter too?
Oh, yeah. So I just.
What's wrong with going down there and being yourself?
Because what if that's not good enough?
But what if it is? You know, here's the thing. They're going to know if you show up inauthentically because you're not going to seem right. You're going to seem fake.
Okay.
But if you show up as your authentic self, doing what you do, taking care of yourself, they're going to see you as a strong woman, as someone who knows who she is, as someone who loves the family that she loves. You're going to be authentic Christina, not someone who's trying to not trying to fit in, trying to not be a sticking out like a sore thumb, right? They're going to see an empowered woman who's taking care of herself and loving her family because she's gone to Mexico to see them all, right? And shows up because she loves them and cares about them and cares about her husband.
Yeah. So, okay.
Take your binder, girl. And you know, you're going, how often do you go down there?
Usually for 1 month out of every year.
Okay.
So,
are there foods down there that you can't get here?
Yes.
Certainly. Absolutely. So why wouldn't you plan them and eat them to your two?
I can make a plan, and I thought about my protocol and just kind of going, okay, I can definitely two to two. I can definitely water and prioritize sleep, and mm-hmm. I can do those things. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want it to be like, oh, well, I planned, you know, chicken and broccoli today. And sorry, you guys are all eating pozole. Yeah. So I was just like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to eat the pozole. I'm going to eat it. And just when dinner is served, maybe I'm not all the way at my negative two, but I'm not going to make a big coup about it. I'm just going to
eat tea.
Just going to eat. Just going to eat. And so, again, just trying to conform maybe a little bit more to the traditions and mm-hmm. what's going on there.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that if you're doing it from the right place.
Okay.
If you're going to someone's home and you honestly don't know what they're going to have for dinner, all right, and they put out this spread that's incredible, and I don't even know what pozole is, but it sounds amazing.
It's a pork and hominy soup.
Okay. Why wouldn't that be on your protocol? Eating to a two. Pork and hominy, right? That's good stuff. Even if it's a cream soup, it's going to probably have some healthy fats in it, some heavy cream or something like that.
Right.
Why don't you just look at the spread, decide what you're going to eat, and eat to your two?
Okay.
Is that doable?
Right. It is. Mm-hmm. There's going to be like 3 days worth of road tripping in mm-hmm. here. And I know there's lots of fast food going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the moments where I was like, well, there's probably going to be some French fries happening in this 12 days.
If you choose it, if you choose French fries, or there won't be, you can always get two hamburgers, eat half the bun and, you know, not eat the French fries. I mean, there's all kinds of ways around French fries.
Sure.
But you can plan them and eat them to your two also.
But then the voice in your head goes, everyone else is eating French fry.
The voice in your head goes that. My head would be, French fries aren't on the plane today because I don't want to go back 5 pounds heavier.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I really, you know, McDonald's French fries? Nah.
Yeah, no.
Not for me.
If I'm going to have French fries, I'm going to have them from fresh cut potatoes baked in that fryer right over there in that good oil.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? You know, everything is a choice and everything is a mindset. And if you set aside, you know, the I look different, you know, and you show up as yourself with love for your family, you know, you get to decide if you fit in or if you don't. It sounds like doesn't fitting in doesn't make you feel real good. So why would you even decide to do that?
Right.
Is your husband tall?
He's my height. Yes. So
okay.
We're right about.
So you're not the tallest one there. You told me that.
No, but I mean, out of my in-laws and my sister, I mean, my sister-in-law is like 4'9". Mm-hmm. It's like, but I've been part of this family for a while and they are in Mexico. So I don't spend a ton of time there. And then I have the sister-in-law here, obviously. She's not overly accepting of me, but maybe that's just my thought.
Yeah. And do you accept her as your sister-in-law? That's all you need to do. That relationship is defined by how you show up, not by how she shows up.
You know, but mm-hmm. I really have been trying to do a lot of thought work on myself and trying to eliminate a lot of one-sided relationships. Mm-hmm. Just because I tend to be a giver and a people pleaser and a goer and a doer for everyone else, and leaving myself last or just kind of selling myself short. So yeah,
you can show up in relationships and be kind without being a people pleaser.
Okay.
You can.
So,
I mean, you talk about one side of relationships, all relationships are one-sided. It's all about how you show up. You define the relationship in your mind. You define how you're going to show up, what feelings you're going to bring to the relationship, what thoughts. They don't have to be reciprocated. Then you know you like the way you showed up. Doesn't matter how they showed up. It's all about how you feel. It goes back to that self-image thing, right? If you're showing up for them hoping they'll like you, you don't have any control over that. You have to show up knowing you like yourself and that you care enough about your husband and about them to participate in the relationship and to be your best self.
I think on the surface, I like myself, but like to like get into like feelings and stuff, I think I'm still wishy-washy.
That's your work then.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you done the self-love course?
Yes, ma'am. I did. Okay. And,
That's what you found, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, you know, I think I'm starting to like myself in like a vanity sort mm-hmm. of way. I'm losing weight, you know, mm-hmm. definitely getting like feedback from my husband saying mm-hmm. that, you know, he's noticing a change in me. Mm-hmm. People are noticing, obviously almost 60 pounds. It's pretty noticeable.
Absolutely.
But I think the fat girl who still says the hateful things is still in the mirror. So those things, they just keep creeping their head back up. Mm-hmm. It's like whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's exactly what's so funny. But what if they, you know, what if they just don't go away? What if they don't go away? You don't pay attention to them anymore. They play on repeat in the back of this brain back here. And you're like, no, not today. I hear you. But you know, today I'm going to work on this part of myself, which I really like.
Yeah, that's kind of like me and urges. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, not today. Or when I'm out for a walk and I'm like making the first mile lap and I'm like, right there's my car.
You're exactly right. It's the same thing. Right there's that thought. It doesn't mean I have to let it land and create a feeling and an action out of it. Yeah. I look in the mirror all the time and go, oh, those legs. Wait. Stop bad mouthing your legs. They get you places. They do good things. You know, it's just this conversation that you're probably going to have, and it's okay.
Okay. Gonna work on those.
Enjoy your trip.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your time.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Kelly. You're up. You're the only hand raised. So we're going to go with you. And what just happened? Oh, there she is. And then I'll get to the Q&A.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Look, it's kitty cat time.
Kitty cat time.
Yeah. I have a few.
I saw, I was at Corinne's house today podcasting, and her cats were all around. She's got some gorgeous cats, I'll tell you.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm Kelly. I'm an April baby, and I've been listening since December. And I've been TDLing about meal prepping. Okay. So I've been doing really good. I started that in December, and when I first started it, I just picked foods that I really liked and then worked on, because then I wanted to make sure I would do it.
Yeah.
So then I worked on making them more healthy. And then, so I lost regularly for a while, and then the last couple of months, since I joined the tribe, it's funny, I feel like my meal preps have gotten where there are more calories or more food, and so I decided to cut it back to like the original things that I was eating, and so I TDL'd on the portion sizes, because, and I use the, I keep thinking, because I keep thinking that it's not enough food, and I get mad at myself or irritated, and I want to put more in it, and I do have a protocol where I measure rice and potatoes, because I do know that I like that a lot and have a tendency to overeat it. And so I needed some advice on more thoughts that I can tell myself about the portion sizes, because I know that eventually, you know, and part of it's probably a Weight Watchers thinking, you know, where when you start losing, you get less points, less things, less food. And Corinne talks about that too, where we'll, you know, need to eventually we'll be eating a lot less when we get to our goal weight. And so I think that's also in the back of my mind. And if I'm slowing my weight loss, I wanted to look at those things and review it and try to make sure that, you know, I'm actually eating just what I need. So I thought I would like make it less in the meal prep stuff, and then add a snack, but don't eat it if I'm not hungry, if I don't need it. But what can I tell myself more to quit thinking these things, or to keep, you know, the more positive thoughts that I can tell myself?
I would remind myself that I'm following my hunger scale. Okay. I would totally bring the hunger scale into my thought pattern. I'm looking for my plus two because I know that's all I need. Okay. I'm waiting for minus two because I know that's when my body's ready for food. That's when, that's what I would totally bring my hunger scale into the mix. Cause I, you know, I get why you're weighing and measuring potatoes and rice and stuff. And that's fine, because that's a constraint that you're offering yourself. But it's the, you know, you keep talking about portion sizes. The portion size is decided by your hunger scale, not by, you know, how much you put in a container.
Right.
Okay. You know, accepting, you know, what you're doing with rice and potatoes, because that's, you know, that's what you've decided. But for like all the other stuff, you know, what you say is, I'm open to believing my hunger scale decides my portion sizes. I'm learning how to use my hunger scale to decide how much I eat. You know, just keep reminding yourself that you're fine tuning that hunger scale, because that's what's going to create the weight loss results for you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. So I had my lap band removed in December. And so my hunger scale is, I'm getting used to it without the lap band. I think it was easier when I first had it removed, because I was still, you know, the pattern of the way that I would eat things. And then without the band restriction, I feel like the portion sizes are bigger, or I'm not noticing it as fast as I would with the band. So I was having a little, some issues with that.
Okay. So, are you a fast eater? Do you eat fast?
Yes and no. So, a lot of times I don't take my whole hour for lunch. And if I'm trying to eat something in between meetings, and I'm doing a lot better than I was, but, with the band, I couldn't eat fast at all. So it was eat, you know, something light before I would go. I wouldn't eat anything real heavy right before a meeting because stress makes the band tight too. And so that would be some problems that I ran into with it.
What about distracted? Do you eat distracted? Do you eat at your desk?
I do. Well, if I'm trying to fit lunch in and go to another meeting, I'll eat at my desk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times I don't because I want to get away from my desk.
Right. Those are two things I'd really pay attention to is how fast you're eating and whether or not you're distracted, because those are going to reveal more hunger signals to you. And as you adapt to life without your lap band, you need to adapt to figuring out your hunger scale.
Okay.
Okay. That's going to be super key in all of this, is making sure you're not overeating. Now, I don't know a lot about the lap band and about the removal and the bariatric surgery side of it. Mm-hmm. But what I can tell you is that if you are mindful, you'll figure it out. Okay, you'll figure out how it works for you. I would also get in the weight loss surgery group. Are you in that group?
I did.
Okay.
I asked where it was a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Shannon is the mentor in there. She's fabulous. I think she's she and a lot of the other girls in that group can help you tune into your hunger signals. You know, okay. If they're different, you know, they might be different after having the lap band removed. They might not be the traditional hunger signals that like I feel or somebody else feels. There might be something different. And fullness signals as well.
Right.
I would get in there and I'd ask some questions about that and see if anybody's noticed anything different that you can watch for.
Okay. Those are okay. Good questions.
Yeah. Ask. And as far as your food prep goes,
I'm a little ridiculous. I have a huge freezer. And it is like so full. My family laughs at me.
Oh, I think it's awesome.
You'll never eat all that food.
I think I told you we podcasted today. And one of the things podcasted on, this is going to be so good. We get requests all the time for podcasts on maintenance. Okay. Because a lot of the girls have lost their weight and they're trying to transition to maintenance. And we talked about one of those, what do you do now? What do I do now in maintenance that I did when I was losing weight? It was food prep. I love food prep. So I think it's fantastic that you have a freezer full of stuff. There's nothing better to me than opening up my refrigerator and seeing food already made that all I have to do is heat up.
Yep.
Nothing better in the whole world. It is worth a couple of hours on a Sunday to set up my week that way.
It is. I drive on 24 in Nashville every day. I don't even want to go the other way off the exit. I'd rather just go home in 3 minutes. My food is done.
Right. So. Exactly. Exactly. I didn't know you were local.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm in Smyrna.
So. In Smyrna. And you, do you work in town? You work downtown or in
Nashville? I work downtown. Unfortunately. Oh, yes.
God love you.
It sucks, but yeah. And lately it's so bad.
And yeah, and it's CMA week.
Yes,
it's CMA week, right? So traffic is going to be super great.
So NFL draft week, they actually made us go work from home because they didn't want us downtown. They wanted our parking spaces. So that was pretty interesting.
So are you a Metro employee or a state employee?
I'm a state employee.
State employee.
Mm-hmm. I do procurement for agencies.
Okay. I bet you I know exactly what building and what floor you work on.
I bet so too.
Yep.
It's a really tall one.
Yep. Well, good deal. I hope traffic isn't terrible for you, but you're right. Food prep is the bomb. That's
it is.
Takes a lot of stress out of what am I going to fix when I get home after you've been sitting in traffic. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I tried to get my sister in on it and it lasted for like 2 days. When she came to visit, she didn't want the meal prep that I had in the freezer. So what I did was I planned all the dinners that I would have made for us to have fresh. So she would eat them. And then I put the rest in the freezer. So I meal prepped every other day.
Wow.
So yeah.
Now you don't have to meal prep for a while. You just heat it up, right?
No, it's all in there. Let me tell you, if the power went out, I could feed my neighborhood.
That's awesome. I'm coming to Smyrna if the power goes out.
Okay, come on in.
Is that all you got?
Yep, it
is. All right.
Thanks for making the first call easy.
You're welcome. Take care.
Sounds good. Good night. Bye.
All right, let's do this Q&A real quick, then we'll get out of here. Q&A is way over here. Let me move it. I had a few urges today. The first two I journaled and sat in discomfort, and the third one I gave in. Of course, it was when my kids came home. I'm disappointed. I keep telling myself it was a choice. How can I be more prepared tomorrow when they get home? It's definitely a pattern for me. Well, that's interesting. How can you be? Right? How can you be better prepared when they get home? That's the question I would ask you, Merle. So you, I would also ask you, how you, did you sit with the first two urges? You said you did. You sat in your discomfort. How did that feel? Right? How did that, how did you do that? I would really, really look at the success of those first two urges and see what you can apply to the third. And then I'd also look at, I'd also look at what you're thinking when the kids come home. You know, what, why is that danger zone time for you? Right? So do a TDL on that. And if you want some help with it, post it and ask coaches. And we'll see if we can find your thought for you. Okay? Dana says, you seem pretty bulletproof. What are you working on these days in your thought downloads and models? And I was a racer and I loved it. I remember you, Dana. You were our 5K queen, right? I'm not bulletproof at all. I thought download every day. Usually, it's funny as you ask this, usually it's about work. To be perfectly honest, I'm still getting used to the transition of working in an office in a job that I knew like the back of my hand. I was super good at my job. I pretty much created the job. Okay. So very confident, very self-assured in my old job. I left it to come here to work full-time, which you know, and I find myself in a pattern where I need continuous growth. And I know that's a thought, but it's almost like I crave it. You know, I'm always trying to learn something more about the business or about you all or about myself or about coaching or about concepts. So I do a lot of thought work on self-improvement and what it means and why it's okay, because I had spent, seriously, y'all, I had spent 53 years in complacency zone. I'm good at this. I don't need to move. I don't need to learn anything else. I move over here to this job, and Corinne is so smart and so well-studied and so advanced in her thinking that I want to be like that. I want to be advanced in my thinking. So I do a lot of work on how I used to be complacent, and I can't be anymore. And I crave the growth. I work toward the growth. So that's kind of what I'm working on these days. I will tell you all, I've done this before. Oh, it's in my bedroom because I'm actually reading it. John C. Maxwell's The 15 Laws of Invaluable Growth is fantastic. Okay. I would recommend that to anybody to read. It's a very easy read, and it shows you all the different ways you can look at your own self-growth. It's an incredibly good book. So that's what I'm working on right now. Melissa, I was going to raise my hand, but I was on last week. I'm having difficulty believing the intentional thought, I am right where I need to be, to replace the unintentional thought, I'm so behind. I always feel like I'm behind in my work. Part of it is my past habit of using stress to motivate me. Stress does not motivate you. Stress does not motivate you. Action motivates you. Motivation is earned through doing things. Okay. You're reacting to stress by white knuckling through action. Okay. So stress doesn't motivate you. Let's say that first. So she says, I always feel like I'm behind in my work. Part of it is my past habit of using stress to motivate me. And part of it is just because I'm not as productive as I used to be. So if you tell yourself, I'm so far behind, it leads to overwhelm, which leads to inaction, which leads to you getting further behind, right? So understand how that thought works, okay? It does not motivate you. It stays, it sits you right where you're sitting. It keeps you right where you're sitting. If your intentional thought is, I'm right where I need to be, but you don't believe it, just keep telling yourself that until you do. But you can also ladder into that thought by saying something like, I'm learning to believe I'm right where I need to be. Or I'm open to believing I'm right where I need to be. Or I want to believe I'm right where I need to be. Okay? Those thoughts probably seem more believable. So work with those. Okay? And then do your models. You know, let's say, I'm open to believing I am right where I need to be is the thought. The feeling might be hopeful. The action is look for ways that I can make this work with where I am. And the result is I'm learning how to be right where I need to be. Okay, so use that. There's a, in No BS, there's a creating new thoughts module. Go back into there and it'll talk about the thought ladder, and it talks about how there's space between a lot of times the unintentional thought and the intentional thought for you to create in between thoughts that level you up just a little bit until you can get to the intentional one. I hope that helps. Regan, best ways to handle family not supporting my going to camp. Husband very negative and still not being very nice since Thursday. He gets to think what he's going to think. He's just not a believer yet. If you're a believer, I'm assuming you've signed up for camp. Just do your own thought work about what you're making it mean that he says he doesn't support it, and decide whether or not you want to continue to support it, right? He just doesn't understand. But he just doesn't understand, right? So I would do some work on I would thought download, what do I make this mean? And I would thought download why I'm concerned that he doesn't support me going to camp. And I would show him through my thoughts and my actions that I'm doing the work on me that is the best work I've ever done. That's how I'd attack that. I'm single and 53, and I've had a lot of hopeless thoughts around that. Well, I'm 53. I live in New York City and see all these young women and people and keep thinking that I lost my opportunity to have a family life mate as I write this. I know it's stinking thinking, and also I have positive stints and then fall into hopelessness again. It's a vicious cycle. I feel like I know the answer, but would love to hear your take. Well, I'd love to hear what you think the answer is, because if you already have the answer, then that's the way I'd go. You know, you are only hopeless if you decide you're hopeless. It's only a hopeless situation if you decide it is. That's the beautiful power of the thoughts, right? That's the beautiful, you know, thoughts are optional. You know, in fact, I heard Corinne call them optional thoughts not too long ago. And so if you've decided it's hopeless, then it is. If you decide, you know what? That's an optional thought. It's not hopeless. I'm going to go to a bar tomorrow night and give a guy my phone number and see what happens. Then you can do that too, right? I will tell you that this last weekend, I think there were two different girls who were given assignments to approach guys and, you know, ask them for coffee. Find a cute guy and ask him for coffee. So be careful who you bring this to. Right? But it is your stinking thinking, right? It's never hopeless until you decide to give up. Okay. All right. You said thanks. So I must've said something that landed. Good. All right. One more. I joined PMP in May of 2018 and I've lost a total of 23 pounds. Woo. That's great. I go up and down and can't seem to get past 250. I keep thinking of my past and mistakes I've made, and I know it's foolish because I can't do anything about that. Right? It's the past, right? I'm not very good at doing TDLs. Why not? It's 5 minutes, right, every day. Okay? When I think of my past, should I do a TDL on it? You can, but the past is the facts of the situation. It's what happened. It doesn't really matter now. What matters now is what you think today. So if you think, I'll never be able to do this because I haven't before, that's a thought that's blocking you. Not the fact that you haven't done it before. It's the thought about it that's blocking you. You know, if you think I've made mistakes in my past and I won't be able to get past this, then that's what's blocking you. Will that help me to move from my past, or at least help me not continuously think about it? I don't think so. What's going to help you not continuously think about your past is to think about today instead. To think about, you know, how you can show up today to make 250 be in the past. Also, you've lost 23 pounds. What did you do to lose the 23 pounds? That's the only past I'd look at. And then what can you do tomorrow to lose the 23 pounds? You know, Corinne is not big on looking at the past, y'all. She's big on how can you show up today? Okay, and what are you thinking today that's creating today's results? Because today is the only thing you have control over. The past is done. How can I find the exact name of the incredible growth book you just recommended? It's John C. Maxwell is the author, and it's the 15 Laws of Invaluable Growth. And I wish I had it with me right here, but it is in my bedroom. But if you look up John C. Maxwell, it's in Corinne's Kit Store, kit.com/fitandfat. And you should be able to find it there. Deanna, tell your son Luke I said hi back. Okay. One more. I'm looking for ways of replacing my feelings of defeat with feelings of hope. Feelings are created by a thought, Patty. Okay. Think about the model. You have a circumstance. That's what you're thinking about. A thought about your circumstance. The thought creates the feeling. So if you're having feelings of defeat, you might be thinking, I'll never get this. I'm not good enough. I'll never understand how to do this. Those lead to feelings of defeat. So you have to change that thought. Okay. The thought that you can level up to is, I'm learning to get this. I'm figuring this out. I really want to learn how to do this. Something like that thought leads to a feeling of hope. Okay. So if you want to change the feelings, guys, you got to change the thoughts. All right. That is it. I hope you guys have a great rest of your night, and I will see you next week. Okay, bye-bye.